October at 6 p.m. at Exmouth Town Hall. Apologies for absence I've received from Councillors Brian Bailey, Councillor Tim Dunker, Joe Whitley and John Humphreys. We've got no member of the public wishing to speak this evening, so I'll move straight on to minutes of the meeting held on the 14th of October 2019 have been circulated. Is it your wish to sign as a true record last meeting? Declaration of pecuniary interest and dispensations. Has anybody got any? Councillor Toy?
Application 19-21900. I'm a National Trust member.
Thank you. I declare an interest in 19, the big 2263 full, Raleigh Surgery, because I deal with Raleigh Surgery as an employee of Ecton Clipson Hospital.
I'd like to say an interest in some patient then.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm a patient there as well.
Thank you. Yes, you need to declare an interest?
Okay.
Yes.
I'm a patient
then. Thank you. No. Any other interest to note for tonight?
I'm not.
Have you any other interest for any other planning application? No. Okay, thank you. No items of urgent business. So I'll move straight on to determine applications under delegated powers. Firstly, 19, the 2112 GCA, 10A Douglas Avenue, G1 Bay and 2 John Holly, coppice to 30 centimetres above ground level, T1 Ash fell to ground level. We have received a tree officer's report, which I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, the tree officer states that the trees are located in the applicant's rear garden and are considered to be of low quality and amenity value. Previous pollarding of the bay and the holly has resulted in the dense long regrowth, and coppicing to the ground will allow the regrowth to be managed in the future. The ash is of poor form and condition, located close to the residence boundary wall and fence, and is likely to cause damage to both in the future. So the recommendation is for approval. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Rosser? Thank you. No other Litland councillors. I'll second. Proposed and seconded for approval in the group of the recommendation from the tree officer's report. All those in favour? Against? No. Thank you. The next application for TAM 19 will be 2058 advertising. The application has been withdrawn, so we will not be discussing that this evening. Now move on to consider the planning applications for consultation. Firstly, Brixington Ward. Application 19, the 22144, 57 Evergreen Coast, proposed extension to front. We have no comments from statutory consultees, no representations, and with regard to the neighbourhood plan, I would refer to EB2. Thank you. Councillor Nicholas?
We figure out the current. Well, I couldn't, I was 3 years old and get the actual plans up. But when I was looking at them just now, it's only that piece above the garage. I actually thought that they were going to try and build it on top, you know, because some of them have brought it forward. But apparently, they're just going to fill in the window, like a dormer type window, but no further forward than upstairs. So I can't really see a big problem with that.
Okay, thank you. So proposing approval. Councillor Cagan? Thank you. Councillor Coleman?
I went to the other ground and I chat with the neighbours, and they seem to be happy because I thought maybe it might affect them. So it's in the, I think as long as the neighbours are happy, it's okay.
Thank you. So proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Me again? Thank you. Next application is 19, the big 2181 full. 25 St John's Road, proposed two-storey rear extension to the property and carport. There are no comments from statutory consultees, no representations. With regard to the Exmouth neighbourhood plan, it would be again EB2, EN5 and 6. If you need me to just mention those, please let me know, because we have mentioned them quite a few times.
Can I just bring up, the documents still aren't working online?
Right, what, for this particular application?
No,
Is that today? Because I looked at all of them yesterday.
Yeah, they were working yesterday.
It's today.
Yeah, and this is why I've used it.
You've used it all day. I was going to say I used it all day yesterday.
There are issues when you start trying to use it with a tablet.
Well, you have to use the PDF instead of the, because it does all of them.
I get that.
And it still wasn't
working. Those present problems.
All I've got was a black screen, more or less telling me computer says no.
Okay, fine, we'll report that to East Devon District Council.
It's not constant.
No, but we need to report it, because obviously it means you can't make a good, you can't see the plans, and therefore you may not be able to judge who's seen them.
They sometimes come in a different format.
Yes, they do. It's just on some computers you can press the actual number of the document and not the PDF at the right hand side. And sometimes you press that, it all comes up, none of them open, and you have to press the PDF. Okay, well, we'll pass that on and we'll see if there's some issue with their particular programming. But in that case, we will illustrate them on the screen this evening. So this is the plan in respect of 25 St John's Road. Councillor Cahill.
Have we got any pictures, any images or a location plan rather than the drawings? I just want to confirm that this is the house.
Yeah, it is.
On the band.
Looking at that then, it says two-storey rear extension to property and carport. So one assumes that they will be driving into the old Brixton Lane to gain access.
Does it show that on the plan?
I'm making an assumption there.
Is this the white house with the stuff going on here?
It's the house that was originally there before they built all the Marcus Road estate.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that access will be across the old Brixton Lane, won't it?
Yeah.
Which is obviously acceptable, presumably as long as they park their vehicles inside.
That's an alleyway. Going towards linking up to Brixton Lane.
It is the old Brixton Lane.
Before it was closed for the new Marcus Road. Councillor Nicholas.
I came in early so I could have a look, and what we were looking at and what I noticed from over there is they have got an access into the back, but it's on the side, opening directly there, and it showed about that on Google as well, didn't it, when you got it up. Well, if they're now going to move it so that they can drive straight in, that means they're going to be taking some of Brixton Lane off.
Well, if they needed to take any of Brixton Lane, they would then have to obviously apply for that and that would be a civil matter. That wouldn't be in respect of the planning application, that would be a civil matter. If they need to take any more land, that's nothing to do with the actual planning application, because you can't apply for a planning application on anybody's land at any time. If it does go over, they will have to seek some form of...
And it's closed off for traffic. So it's not got it's not a traffic thoroughfare.
Well, it depends in that case who actually owns that bit of Brixton Lane, whether it's part of the new, where the houses are bigger, or whether it's part of the highway. It depends who's adopted it or if it has been adopted.
Did a bit of research when we had that Marcus Road thing with the extension to the garden. And the road is highways, but the bank is unknown. Because this doesn't include the bank, but what I'm just conscious of is if they're going to put an access into their rear garden, that's fine, as long as they don't block the lane for people walking up and down.
But if they're putting a new access into there from another road, then it would have to be highways anyway, because highways would have to make any decisions concerning splays or...
Have they commented?
Not at this stage.
Well, we could put subject to highways.
But
we can put in there that subject to highways because we're concerned that the new
access. I'm quite happy with the application as long as we have had some sort of...
But if it's a new access to highways, you comment anyway, because that's normal practice for highways.
Well, they have... If you look, there was originally, or it still is a side built out. And they proposed taking that down.
So they exist.
But at the moment they've got a piece of a little tiny strip paved over. So there's one car park's there and one park parks right in front of the house.
Yeah, I mean, if there's any new access or if they're taking land, then they've got, that's a civil matter. If they actually need to gain more land, that would have to be some form of civil matter in actually being able to gain the land or get a restricted, you know, something lifted to be able to gain access. But that would not be part of the planning application. But we can obviously mention it on the planning application concerning highways, because if it's a new access, then highways have to agree the access and whether there's any necessary splay or anything needed for being able to come out of that drive. So you're proposing approval subject to just highways and getting confirmation of highways.
Yes.
Councillor Coleman?
Yeah, I agree with that. Approvals are part of access. I don't see a problem. It's really well, but it's going to affect the neighbours too much.
Okay. So proposed and seconded approval, but subject to, as it's a new access at highways, some form of comment from highways. All those in favour? Against? No. Thank you. Now move to Halston Ward, first application 19, 2258 full, the White House, Courtlands Lane, proposed single-storey side extension and external steps. There are no comments from statutory consultees, no representations, expert neighbourhood plan. The reference would be EB2, would be the one that would need to take into account. These ones we've used at nearly every meeting has been EB2, EN5 and 6, but if there's new ones, I will obviously give you details, but if you need me to explain any of those, then please say. Councillor Toy?
Yes, this is to the western side of the building, and it does overlook next door. There are small windows already overlooking next door, which is quite a distance away. It would move that overlooking a little bit nearer. But on the other hand, the neighbour next door is not at all worried about it. There is quite a large outbuilding in front, so it won't look very overbearing at all. So I think, from that point of view, it's quite acceptable. I would recommend approval.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Next application is 19-2190. It's the building consent, Anna Rong. Temporary floor to be laid over existing shell gallery floor. Temporary remove existing balustrading installed on site and subsequent replacement with addition of strengthening. Replace existing glazing on 8 windows and install smart tint film to the outside face of glass. No comments from statutory consultees, no representations. This is actually carrying out the work that they've actually been training for some time that they need done to the Shell Gallery. And this is obviously the listed building consent for that work. I personally have no objection to this at all, subject as usual to the listing building officer's report. Councillor Toy.
Yeah, this is absolutely necessary work for protecting a very valuable asset. Work is being undertaken by experts. I can't make a proposal
because I'd be very
interested, but
no. That's what I can say. I'm happy to propose approval, but we need to say subject to the building consent service. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Next application is 19-2179 full, 19 Chaucer Rise. Replacing existing near fence with higher fence providing double rear access. There are no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Toy, do you want to kick off?
Yes, the fence has already been built. It's a little bit higher than the other fences, but from a point of view of privacy, I suppose it's acceptable. The big problem is immediately behind where they want to put the gates is a shed. Yeah, you might have got a picture of it, yeah. Now, those gates will open directly into the shed. Now, the question is, what's that shed going to be used for? If it's going to be used, if you want access, a wide access to it, it's possible that shed could be enlarged a bit and you could actually get a vehicle in and out of there, which would make an access onto the Hullam Road itself, which would not be at all acceptable because a precedent would be set for every other house along, about 20 houses along there. The side entrance, I'm not too fond of that. Pedestrian access onto Hullam Road, if you want to get to a bus, is acceptable, but I do not like the double gates. Also, that shed, although it's a small shed, it's in a very prominent position, and it does impinge upon the street scene, and I just wonder whether that actually needs planning permission because of the position it's in. So I'm not at all happy about the double gates, and on that basis I would recommend refusal.
I concur completely on that. I've actually been up and had a look, and was there when they were building the actual shed.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure exactly it's...
okay,
I was going to say, I'm not sure that the actual use of that. But I concur with you that I'm happy with the single access gate.
Yeah, that's not...
But I'm totally against the double gates. And I also would like confirmation whether there was planning application for the shed or if in fact we need to look at the shed, because the height of it is certainly impinging on the street scene, because it's quite a bit high up on the fence.
Mm.
And you can see it quite prominently.
Mm.
And I agree with Councillor Toy that the difficulty is once you start that, we're going to have every single house in Chaucer Rise opening up into Holland Road. So I'm happy to second refusal. So propose and second for refusal on those grounds. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 19B21144, Fire Shepherdton Close. Construction of dormers to front elevation and detached garage. No comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Expedited plan, it would be EB2. I have no problem with this particular, I have looked at it, and there's quite a few of the houses have got dormers at the front, and it's not actually overlooking, so I'm happy to propose approval. But Councillor Toy?
I'm afraid I'm going to do that.
Okay.
This is rather confusing because a lot of this has already been approved in June.
Mm-hmm.
The door, it said dormers, but there is only one dormer on the front, that's already been constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a horribly ugly thing that doesn't fit in at all with the street scene. Mm-hmm. It's a sort of creamy yellowy colour with shiplap cladding. It would have been much better if it had been tiled up, so that it would have looked at least... I think it's very, very obtrusive. I don't like it at all. But I don't know exactly the dimensions of what... It's much bigger than one would expect it to be for a house of that size. I don't know whether that follows the approval that was already given to it. I'm not sure about that one at all.
No, I agree with you. I read through the original approval, which is why I was saying I couldn't refute, because I think it's already been agreed, but I'm happy to, you know, if I think there's a previous,
there's a previous
application.
It's one of the ugliest doors I've ever seen.
Yeah, I quite agree with you. And I don't actually recall there being an application, but when I did go up to have a look, the adjoining property did say to me that there had been an application that had been approved, but I haven't been able to get on today, so I don't know if there is, if you can see from the records, if there has been an approval for a dormer.
Thank you, Chairman. Is there any representations from any of the neighbours? So no one's complained?
No, nobody's complained. It's just that when I went up, the neighbours were unhappy with the dormer, as Councillor Toy has said, because it doesn't fit in with any of the other dormers or anything that's around there. But as I say, this particular neighbour that I spoke to thought that the dormer had already been...
I suppose there's no standard dormer design, so they all look different.
But I mean, if it hasn't, then I'm happy to concur with it, because it does say in this application, it does actually say construction of dormers.
Plural, yes.
It does, it says dormers to front elevation.
Mm.
So, I mean, there is one already there, I agree with Councillor Toy. I mean, if it has been built and there is no, and this is a retrospective application, then I'm happy to refuse with Councillor Toy. I mean, perhaps it is a retrospective application if there's nothing else.
I haven't seen.
At least it will bring it to the attention.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I wonder if there's something.
We're just
going to
check a moment, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't say anything, does it?
Sometimes they say, has it?
Certainly the planning application with it is showing the dormers, but it is certainly there through the capital.
Yeah, there's no problem with it now, right? That's
no, I've got
does it
say
there's any
it's
of
a dormer that's
built.
The problem.
Is it further out?
Does it seem like
where it says there's any of this been built yet?
Yeah, well, that's what I was trying to look for. But... the work already been started without consent? No.
No.
No. So that's because the dorm, there is a dormer there, if you see what I mean. Yeah.
It's been so see that says started. Loft. That says loft extension, doesn't it? That says loft. That which it doesn't say on the front sheet, does it? It says loft conversion,
including new dormitory front elevation and internal alterations.
That's different to what it
there's
says.
No shape.
Yeah,
there's
so
no
loft conversion
materials.
Would be in the roof, wouldn't it? As opposed
yeah.
to
yeah. There is
it says new dormer there and dormers here.
Yeah, perhaps he hasn't got permission for the dormer that's there at the moment.
Which contradicts
yeah, the which contradicts the application form because he said there's any of the work started and it says no.
Yeah.
I think in this case we'll refuse, but I will check whether there's any.
Yeah. I think.
You can propose. I'll second refusal, on the basis that it's out of keeping certain with the sweet scene and the materials are unsuitable for the property, and then we will check when we can get online just to check that there hasn't been approval for that. And I'll come back to you if it
is.
Okay. So proposed and seconded for refusal. All those in favour? Against? Abstention? Against or abstention? Okay. Next application is 19 and 19644 Full 6 Little Mead Lane. Side extension with integral garage, dormer windows, front elevation, roof light to rear elevation. No comments from statutory consultees, no representations. Expert name of the plan, it would be EB2. Councillor Toy?
Yeah, the dormers have got no overlooking problem with the dormers whatsoever or to the side. It's a long way from the front of the house to the opposite side anyway, and to the rear it's all open, so there's no problem. It actually gives better parking space too, there's just a driveway at the moment, so if they have visitors, they would have to park in the road, and it's a very, very busy little road because it's a wrap run from Exeter Road to get up to Bridgeton. So I got no problem with it. I don't find it intrusive. I would recommend approval.
Thank you. I'm happy to second. Close and second for approval. All those in favour? Against. Now we're on to planning application 19, 22263 full, Raleigh Surgery, 33 Pines Road, change of use from doctor surgery to two dwellings, creation of parking areas and roof extension to front elevation and installation of roof lights. Expert name of the plan is EE3 and CF1. We have had CF1 before, so I'll read it out to you. Development that contributes to enhancement of health and wellbeing facilities within Exmouth will be supported, in particular enhancement and development to improve the capacity of medical and wellbeing services in the Brixington and Goodmill area of Exmouth will be welcomed. Any development proposal which leads to a reduction in current health and wellbeing facilities will not be supported unless mitigated by improved or increased capacity for the delivery of health and wellbeing services through the development proposal. So that everybody is aware what CF1 is. We've got one statutory consultee, which was Councillor Toy, Andrew Toy, which was concerned about the loss of medical practice and the only one in this part of town and objects to the grounds of loss of amenity. No representations. I understand that the reasons for the change of use were in the design and access statement, which I drew to Councillor Andrew Toy's attention, which does explain that Dr. Knight wishes to retire in the future and they're having difficulty running that practice. But obviously we've got the neighbourhood plan CF1, that is quite clear. But obviously all of these surgeries are subject to primary care trust and CCG and what happens to patients anyway. But Councillor Toy.
Yeah, unfortunately I don't think we can raise any particular arguments from a planning point of view. I mean, the front elevation is not much changed. The windows at the front will be a little bit larger. That's about all the only effect it would have on the appearance. But I'm really sad to think that it's for commercial reasons she wants to close. And I always upset my politicians considering health to be a business. It's not a business, it's a service. but there we are.
To be fair, that's not what it says in the design and access statement. It makes it clear that, as she wants to retire, but it also makes clear that the difficulty is with the services they now have to provide. As a doctor's surgery, what they have to provide. So it's not, I think it's probably unfair to say it's for economic reasons, because that isn't what it says in the design.
That is the reason that's been put forward by the doctor.
No, it says she can't get it, it says if you read it through, it says she's unable to get additional partners for the GP practice.
I'm sure she talked about a business. As a business, it was not terribly viable. That's what she said.
Yes, but
that's
she's
the
also,
story I've had anyway.
Well, no, I was only going to say, because if you read through the statement, it makes it clear about the fact of getting doctors, and there has been a problem already getting GPs at Raleigh Surgery. But I just want to make it clear, it's just not wholly economic, and it has to go to the health
It would affect the viability of the pharmacy as well, wouldn't it? That's almost external.
No. Well, not necessarily, no. But, I mean, part of it is because
there
she can't have
on prescriptions for that.
Yes, but, I mean, I agree with you, but there was a dude from Treetops. But all I was saying is because what she has said there is that they obviously can't increase the services at Raleigh because of the size of the actual practice that they have. I mean, if you read through that and read through the statement for the various health and wellbeing, it does actually say in the strategy for Exmouth, actually, there's a 50%, the size of the building is 50% less than would be needed to be able to provide the services that they need to provide now as a GP practice. So I think, yes, it's economic that she's got to do certain things to make the practice viable, but I think she's also saying she hasn't got the... you've got to get GPs to come, and I don't know, those of you who are at that practice will know there have been difficulties with getting GPs to come, which is why we've got temporary GPs.
Dr. Martin doesn't seem to have a problem.
Pardon?
Dr. Martin doesn't seem to have a problem.
No. But, I mean, if you're at Raleigh, you'll know that they've had to engage somebody that actually retired to come back to Raleigh because they couldn't get a new GP.
Catherine? All I'm saying is that the one that was partnered with Dr. Now, that would be about 10 years ago, he retired and went off to New Zealand to take up another practice there. But the only ones that they were managing to attract were part-timers.
Mm.
And that is basically, you haven't got a full-time apart from her. I think she came with a part-time to start with as well.
Yeah, she came from another practice. But I think that the problem is that we can refuse on the basis of the Exmouth neighbourhood plan. But I still think you'll find that because of the number of patients, it still has to be a primary care trust to have to make a decision what happens to patients, not us. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was there an hour or two ago, and outside they've got a notice saying that you don't need to worry, that you'll still get a service. It's just about how you build it, moving to bigger premises. If you've got any worries, come in and have a chat.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in, and the receptionist said, we've been told nothing.
Mm.
So, we don't really know what's
No,
what's
I mean, I think
there.
You can only go on the information that she's given us in the design and access statement.
I mean, I don't know if we can refuse on the basis of, that is a valuable amenity, and unless we're assured that service will continue and be accessible to
Well, I think the Exmouth neighbourhood plan is clear.
Yeah.
It
says
you will not support development. I mean,
it is
absolutely clear in here.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you've got the economically viable part of the Exmouth neighbourhood plan, which says, is it economically viable? This is not really in that category because it's not a business. If you read through, it's actually saying the services that they have to provide for GP practices now is such that they couldn't do that, to a certain extent. But the CF1 is very clear. It does say any development proposal which leads to a reduction in current health and wellbeing facilities will not be supported unless mitigated by improved or increased capacity for the delivery of health and wellbeing services through the development proposal. Well, at the moment, we've got no proposal put forward that's going to mitigate.
Right. So
you can
refuse it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I'd read the neighbourhood plan, if I'm right. I would read the neighbourhood plan that that is the neighbourhood plan that is there, so therefore I would say that that's directing the planning committee that we refuse on the basis that it is a reduction in current health food service, but we've got no evidence at this current time to support, you know, that we've got any mitigating reason.
Yeah, I mean, can I just, I mean, it's not really the planning issue, but I mean, the fact that Dr. Knight-Munster retired is something they can't recruit another doctor. He may find it easier to work in partnership with another.
Absolutely, and there might be, which is why very often when you get these, I mean, if you, other ones, in, you know, Cornwall has had a lot of problems with health, the GP service, and then, but it's the health, you know, it's the health trust that has to make a decision about the patients. Yeah. I mean, whether they can expand the practice, whether they can move the practice, because we've got Goodman's Farm coming, you know, we've got to think there's going to be more need for health and wellbeing. So we've got that issue, as well as we've got, obviously, whether they keep surgery, whether they go to another surgery, you know, I mean, that is not our decision.
No.
I think our decision is just the planning issue of whether we can accept the planning application, whether we support or refuse the planning application. But the neighbourhood plan is clear there, and I can't see that this present state have got any mitigating circumstances against it. But Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this surgery came after that estate was built anyway.
I don't know.
It did.
It came after the estate was built.
It was installed as a doctor's surgery, I think it did.
I don't know.
I know, but it came after the estate was filmed. If it's owned, and I'll read in the documentation there, if it's owned by the doctor, surely she has the right to close it because it's her business. Even though she's a doctor and she's part of the trust and the clinical commission group, there's maybe some income streams. If it's her business, surely she has the right to close it and turn it into a house if that's what she's owned. Chooses to do so.
The partners normally would own the practice.
But as it's only her.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that is normal practice. What I'm saying is it's not us that decide what happens to the patients.
No, and I get that. What I'm saying is if the CCG or whoever it is, the governing body, want to keep those 4,000 patients there, then I'm sure they can buy it and put a new doctor in. We can't really sort of stop her from, you know, sort of closing it down, can we?
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm just reading what's in the neighbourhood plan. I didn't do that, you know.
That was the decision
of the community of Exmouth. That was their decision.
Sure, I think it's just one of those difficult
situations. I don't disagree with you.
Because I think it's a valuable loss of that.
But if we put a neighbourhood plan into operation, then we'll be asking the East End District Council to support our neighbourhood plan. So that, Councillor Toy first. Councillor Toy first.
Yeah, but two things. If you're forcing patients to move a long way to find a doctor, you're making the carbon footprint a bit worse.
Quite right.
The other thing was that some time ago on planning, we were discussing the closure of post offices. There was a government policy that there was a maximum distance at which the customer had to travel to get to a post office. I don't know whether there is any policy that applies to medical practices like that.
Not as far as I'm aware, because everybody has the opportunity to go to whichever practice they wish to. You know, like you've got people living in Budley come to Exmouth and, you know, vice versa.
Can I just propose refusal on the basis of...
Councillor
Cullis
was next, I think.
I think we're going too much into the details. It's a tricky one, but the neighbourhood plan's made our decision for us. I think we have to abide by the neighbourhood plan. The neighbourhood plan's made a decision for us.
Thank you.
I think it's also the issue of the mixed community, mixed use. So we'd be so unhappy if it was being sort of passed on to another business, but just being converted from a business to residential. That's going to mean less, that people are going to have to travel very likely. They're going to be more cars. I think we should project on that as well as on the neighbourhood plan makes it clear. So I'll recommend refusal.
Thank you. So it's proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis of policy CF1 of the neighbourhood plan. Okay. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Applications 19, the big 2305 Falls, 123 Byron Way. Construction of two-storey side extension. There are no comments from Stratford Council, please. No representations. Those with no plan at the EB2. Councillor Toy?
Well, no problem. It's going to make the property look exactly like next door, so I can't see where there's a problem. So I recommend approval.
And I'm happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? No. Thank you. And I move to Little Ward, application 19, leak 2291 full, 78 Midway, construction single storey rear extension. No comments from statutory consultees, no representations. No plan will be EB2. Councillor Rosser?
It's quite a big extension, but I don't really see a reason to refuse on the basis of planning. I did receive a phone call from a lady who lives nearby earlier on today, who said that she reacts very badly to noise and can end up on the floor in a sort of catatonic state, and wanted to know when the building would start and how loud it would be. And I said, well, perhaps I could speak to the builders and then give her a call back, but I can't see any reason to refuse.
Planning approvals for 3 years, they can start any time, you know, can start any time or leave it, so we wouldn't know when it's actually starting. But certainly we can check for operation hours.
Yeah.
Okay, happy to second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Next application is 19, Leak 2194 Full, Mirasol, Blackenstar Lane. Proposed new porch to front elevation. No comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Rosser?
I don't see any problem with this. It's a porch to the front door. So, probably improve the appearance of the building. Recommend approval.
Okay, that will be second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Me against? Thank you. Next application is 19, the 1846 Full, 12C Cypress Road. Demolition of existing dwelling and construction of four dwellings and carports and garages. No comments from statutory consultees, but we have eight representations plus town council representations. So I'll ask Sue to summarise for you.
Yes, first of all, there's eight representations, all object. They're concerned about the damage to the trees from the construction traffic, and in particular the trees that line the boundary to 12B, which may be damaged during ground reduction to accommodate plot 4. The narrow access road is adequate for both pedestrians and cars to have access at the same time, and the visibility on exiting questionable. The roof height of the buildings is higher than the current bungalow. Number 13A Cypress Road would be overlooked and suffer loss of primacy at Edward Kempston House. It is overdevelopment of the site and highly detrimental to the character of the area. The wildlife in the area would be greatly affected by the large piece of their habitat being built on. The application does not adhere to the avenue's design statement nor policy D1 and D3 of East Devon's local plan. Councillor Bruce Desaron wishes to say that he does not support the application, that it is overdevelopment of the site, out of character with the area in terms of policy D1 of the local plan and policy EB2 of the Exmouth neighbourhood plan. Councillor John Humphreys does not support the application as it still represents a gross overdevelopment of the site and is not in keeping with the avenue's design statement. Thank you.
Councillor Rosser?
It's quite an interesting application, really, I find. I think the access is very narrow, probably too narrow. Yes, it doesn't comply, no doubt it doesn't comply with the avenue's design statement. However, there are other developments that have already been built which also don't comply very nearby. The business about the height of the buildings, I mean, there are other buildings nearby with three stories. When people talk about out of keeping, and there's all sorts of variety of buildings in that area. In conclusion, I think they are trying to squeeze too many houses into too small a plot. I would prefer maybe two houses. And I think on the basis of just over to development, I would say refuse.
Thank you.
And access, I think, is the other issue.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm happy to support refusal on the basis of obviously D1 and also EB2, which again is a development site. And we've heard all the reasons why that's so. So, proposed and seconded for refusal. Those in favour? Against? Thank you. Next application 19, Application 19, Big 225 on full, 23 Marble Hill, conversion of garage to annex. This is a renewal of 16, Big 1936 full. There are no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. We have no representatives from Town Council here this evening, but as this is a renewal of a previous planning application, which was agreed by Stem District Council, and there's no changes to that original application, I'm happy to propose approval. A second for that? Okay. So, propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against? Okay. Next application is 19, the 2092 full, 1 Victoria Road. This is replacement windows. We've got no comments from statutory consultees and no views or representations. I don't know if you can show this one. I haven't had a look at this one.
It's like for like.
It's like for like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's any problem with this. It's in the conservation area. Is it not? Victoria? The conservation area? No?
No, I don't think so. It's just PVC instead of wood.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the conservation, so we don't need to get anybody's report then.
I thought it was the conservation. Isn't it the Strand conservation?
I thought it was, but...
Garners.
Down the side there, isn't it?
Okay, well, providing it's not in the conservation area.
Subject that if you want.
Yeah, just for clarification. Replacement windows like for likes, except they're PVC instead of wood. Providing it's not in the conservation area, I haven't got a problem. If not, we'll just make it subject to a conservation officer if it is. I'm unclear because I thought the Strand was in the conservation area, but you might be right that the part of that is not. So,
doesn't say.
It is. It's just I know others in the Strand in the conservation area, but without seeing the conservation map, I'm not.
But then,
get all sorts now.
I can look it up if you want me to.
I think you just want to tie it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to propose approvals subject to the conservation officer if appropriate.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Second.
Thank you. So proposed and seconded for approval, subject to conservation officer if it's appropriate. All those in favour? Me again. Thank you. Next application is 19, a big 2299 listed building consent, Manor Hotel at the Beacon, non illuminated wall mounted sign on the rear northeast boundary wall. Comments, we've had no comments to statutory consultees and no representations.
I
presume this is opposite
school, isn't it? Yeah, it's very small.
Okay,
Beacon
Place, this is
opposite down
there.
Slight
change in design. Yeah. I
don't think it's that intrusive, but has anybody got any?
Yeah.
No, I think it was a ridiculous sign.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to read it. And if you look at the
customers can go, so residents can go in the back.
It's 4 metres wide by 1 metre high. I know the brick wall there at the moment, it looks like it's very aesthetic, but
yes, right.
I don't like it.
Okay, I mean, I think this one's over the Beacon has got one, haven't they?
They used to have one there, but it's got a bit tatter.
You know, unless you happen to be walking up Church Mews.
Well, I think they've got parking at the rear, haven't they?
Yeah.
The manor.
I don't think they have, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, the park, yeah.
And if you try the greenhouses,
yes, with the greenhouses.
Well, it's being screwed to the wall, it's not illuminated, is it?
No, it's just a sign, isn't it?
No worse than all these other signs that I've
got up. I'm happy to have to propose approval. Is there a second for approval? So propose and second for approval. All those favouring of approval?
Was subject to conservation.
Yes, subject to conservation. All those against? It's a pretty one. So that's two. So it's approved subject to the building. Thank you. Next application is 19, complete 19304, 9 Shepherd's Row. Alterations and extension including single storey front and side extension, addition of second storey to building, and installation of windows on first floor, east elevation. No comments from Sadler consultees, no representations. I have to say I was quite surprised at this in Shepherd's Row.
Is this the museum?
This is it.
No, it's.
It's an conservation area too, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I thought, I was going to say that. Is Shepherd's Row not the conservation area?
So there's the museum, and that's it down there.
Next door to the museum?
The museum's here.
Right.
I've not been down here, but I think there must be a back road, a road behind the chapel.
Street, the back, yeah.
And it looks like it's at the end of a.
Right.
Entrance. It's on the back of this building here. Let me just see, and it's an extension that wraps round.
It's a very strange design.
Side.
I think I'm not a town council. I think I might have to say, see if I can get hold of Tim on Wednesday when he's back. Or Joe. It's just I don't know this particular property, and what concerns me looking at the location is it's very tight in with other properties surrounding it.
Yeah.
And I don't know the area well enough, because where that's situated, it's obviously, it's a two-storey extension, there are houses on the right, and I'm not sure what's on the left of it, but it seems quite a small site to be able to get a, unless anybody knows the site, if anybody knows the site, well, I'd like to concur with Tim Dunn, Joe Wimbley. And if you'd be happy that we delegate it to those two, just to certainly have a word with Tim's back on Wednesday.
And
they want to add a second story, and I think unless anybody is I'm just unclear about the actual area.
I don't know how it goes.
Would you be happy then, members, if I can, have a consult with Councillor Dunker and Councillor Wibley just to delegate them then to. And I'll get that sorted in the next day, because he's back on Wednesday, Tim, isn't he? And Joe's around, I think. Okay. Now move to Witherick and Raleigh Ward, application 19, I believe, 2239, full 41 Holland Road, construction of single storey side and single storey rear extension. As with planet B, EB2, EN5 and 6. No comments from Sceptre consultees and no representations. Councillor Cullis?
Yeah, if I'm right, they have approval for a two-storey extension on their bridge back in May, 15th of May. Now they've gone from one storey. I think the one storey is much better. There's the front door on the bedroom is a bit odd, but I can't see any reason to. Not approve it really.
Okay.
Can I just say they did have approval?
Yeah, for the two storeys, there is an improvement from the two storey.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy to second. Propose and send it for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 19, the Bleak 1926 variance, 8 Drakes Avenue. Variation of condition 2, approved plans of planning permission 17, Bleak 23584, proposed new house to amend internal layout and elevations. Got no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Councillor Cullis?
I had some help from Councillor Allison with some clubs and they'll be confused by the plans, but the footprint stays the same. There is a few minor changes in the chimney, and I think the dormer is different as well.
Yeah, it's changed the design of the
footprint is exactly the same, I'll approve.
I'll have to second. Proposing sector for approval. All those in favour? Against? No, thank you. Move on to items for consideration. Premises licence, this is the Grove, the Esplanade. to vary the layout of the premises in accordance with the plans supplied by the applicant. We recently had a planning application which we discussed at the previous meeting. All the changes were listed on the agenda, and the changes that were required, and the obviously the.
I suppose we're supposed to put people off of smoking. It makes smoking a bit more comfortable, doesn't it? If you can make that a bit more protective. But that's all.
Yeah. But they have to provide somewhere, I guess. At least they're not enlarging and making it more. Otherwise, the alterations really are the variation is because they're actually changing the layout and things and having that new extension. So,
by those particular.
Which anybody's got anything. And then the next item two is the Strand and Towns Hospitality Events. This is for a time-limited premises licence from the 31st of December 2019 until the 1st of January 2020, which is New Year's Eve. And again, you've had all the details concerning the live music, recorded music, refreshments, alcohol, and then the various conditions offered by the applicant. I think the only concern I have is to say that I had a number of phone calls saying that it had been advertised already, the event had been advertised already, and it was felt that that was a bit premature when it hadn't been agreed. But that's the only thing I've had from local residents, other than some of the Strand are a bit concerned about the noise. You know, some of the residents are concerned about the noise. Councillor Cahill.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I've already seen it advertised on social media. So that it'll be bigger than the last marquee. Now, when they had the Oktoberfest, they had two marquees. So if it's going to be bigger than the last marquee, is it going to be three marquees? And I do, whilst I support the idea in principle, I am actually against the way that these marquees have suddenly grown from one marquee to two marquees, and then they're advertising that it's going to be bigger than what they had in for Oktoberfest. The marquees were literally on top of the memorial. They were only a few metres away. The toilets were backing up right against the bus stop on Roll Street, and part of the marquee was encroaching on the public highway. So it's all very well East Devon District Council giving permission for these. Thank you. It's all very well East Devon District Council giving permission for these events, but no one seems to police the rules or regulations.
I think the items that you've highlighted really are more representative of the conditions that should be put on the Strand when they actually, we get the, which I haven't seen yet, but we actually get the street trading for all those Strand, when we actually get the information about the Strand and the booking, but I haven't seen that yet. I don't think it's coming through yet. But I mean, obviously, when we get, as we did when we got the previous one for the, when we got the one for the carnival, you know, when we get that one, that's when we really need to speak about the marquee and the placing of where various things are on the Strand, because that won't be part of this licensing, that'll be part of the street trading.
It's just that I don't find it acceptable when people are still at the bus stop and there's a chemical toilet website.
No, I quite agree with you. I mean, I think we can make a comment on here that we haven't got a significant comment concerning the license. However, concerns have been raised regarding the application for the Strand, that we should consider the placement of the toilets, and we can say that, but that should come through when we have the booking for the Strand. I haven't seen it yet, unless
they don't
seen
come,
it.
Do they, till a few weeks before?
No.
The other thing is, when is the market, you know, is it one marquee, two marquees, three marquees, you know?
Well, that will be part of what, when they book the Strand, you have to say, you know, I know because we book it. I mean, you have to say exactly what you're going to put on the Strand when you book it.
But we have no say in that.
Well, no, it should come. It comes on your bulletin. We usually get, when the events are normally on the information bulletin, which tells you what events are there. Usually we get, but I don't know if there will be any street training, I don't know. But we usually do get a notification of when anybody's booked the Strand.
Mm.
And it's usually on the bottom of the information, it says where to apply, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So that would be separate to this one. So, I mean, we can raise your points that have been raised here, but obviously it won't be taken into account with this licensing, because is that what you're discussing, what people have discussed here about the actual number of marquees and where things are placed, and the war memorial, etc., are all part of the actual street scene. Yeah, which will be part of the booking for the Strand, which should come to us, but it might be worth putting the observations in to East End District Council. Councillor Cullis.
Yeah, I think Fred Cascade raised some very good points. I'm also a little concerned about people who maybe aren't going to this event but are coming out of the pubs on New Year's. Well, where are they all going to go? They're fenced out of the Strand because this event is taking up the entire Strand because it's got too big. Where is everyone else going to go?
Yeah, that's a fair point. So we need to make sure that there's access for people around the Strand and that it's fenced off. I suspect it would be fenced off. I didn't go talk to the fence, but is it fenced off?
Well, it wasn't really.
No.
And neighbouring licensee actually claimed to me, no, no, councillor, and said, you know, this really isn't acceptable. It's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And it impacts on their business.
Yeah.
Because once they close, the bar is open later than their event.
So we must ensure that there's access to premises surrounding the Strand, and that access to pedestrians to be able to travel through the Strand. And the only thing with regard to this licence is obviously noise and the local residents. And I know it's finishing at 1:30 and I realise it's New Year's Eve and I don't want to put a damp on that, but there's also there are people that live at the Strand, there are residents in the Strand,
yeah,
which do need to have access and we do need to...
And traditionally you've always had residents in the Strand.
Yeah.
But this actually congregates a large proportion of the
Presumably no fireworks?
No. Well, that again would be on the...
In Manor Gardens,
but it depends what they've got on their booking, doesn't it, for the Strand.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be, they're not supposed to be on the Strand.
Yeah.
There's a lot of restrictions on the Strand nowadays. That's why a number of people have visited Manor Gardens, because there's so many restrictions on the Strand. But certainly, because it's the same as they're going to have all their single-use plastics and everything now, which has been changed in the last 12 months.
But it's closed off to the public then.
Okay, got all those observations for that. Then the third one is the Devon Cliffs Holiday Park Beach Shack Sandy Bay, which is Haven Leisure, of course, to amend Annex 2 Condition 1 to the premises license holder and shall carry out a risk assessment in relation to use of the beach shack. Taking the operation there to the premises and proposed activities to be carried out into consideration, whether stewards are required, etc. That was all sent round as well, the variation, which was amend Annex 2, Condition 1. Not sure where the annex is, but they usually, it has been agreed with Devon and Cornwall Police, it says, so as far as I'm concerned, they usually do take into account the public and everything at Sandy Bay and all honestly.
But generally Sandy Bay is inclusive to its
own customers. We've never had any problem and we've never had people coming out. If it's agreed with Devon and Cornwall Police, I mean, that obviously means that they have actually taken the time to speak to the police and everything before they've even done that.
And they self-steward with all the security stuff.
I've got no problem with that. Tree preservation order, land at 192 Hallam Road, just to confirm tree preservation order. Appeal decisions, Mr. Graham Bassett, 6 Briar Close, which was dormer windows to the front and rear to enable a loft conversion. The appeal was dismissed. And the second one was Mark Philip, 59 Mount Pleasant Avenue, which was the front and rear hip to gable roof extension and side dormer to form the new first floor accommodation. And again, the appeal has been dismissed. Then we just have the planning decisions, which wonderfully East End agree with everyone. So well done, team. No other matters. I'll close the meeting. Thank you.
Right.